So this is a problem. We are working like in some sort of underground fashion with sometimes with not the most advanced tools and with very limited access to wires that we happen to find lying on the ground somewhere. We cannot access the storage facility and just pick any batch we want. It's not happening. Okay.
Yeah, so it would be lovely, wouldn't it, to be allowed to check this stuff out. Our government, again, we've just said, yes, it's time for everyone over 18 to get number five injection.
Oh.
And it's going to be interesting to see what percentage of the population that they claim chooses to do it. Because still, our doctors and nurses in public hospitals that are supposed to do it, not in private hospitals though. And of course, all the little oldies in aged care homes, they'll be injected again because they have no choice. It's just awful. And everyone who works with aged care, one of my clients is an 18-year-old young woman. She 18 months ago had her jabs so that she could keep her job in aged care. She's had myocarditis or chest pain and all sorts of things ever since. It sort of morphed. I think it sort of turned. Now she's got lots of depression and anxiety and stuff. And once again, sort of chatting to her, and I wonder which ingredients are real in the injectables and which ones are just Trojan horses out there. So, because David Nixon was saying last week that thousands of batches have been tested, they're not finding mRNA. Is that correct?
I'm not sure how much are well, I'm pretty sure that they are not finding mRNA anywhere, because mRNA is some interpretation, special false and fake interpretation for something that could be just RNA.
Right.
So maybe there's RNA, and they claim that there is a phenomena called messenger RNA that is intrinsic to the body, but then they can inject it from the outside and it can have the same effect. This is all quackery. I don't think this is fake science and pseudoscience. But people have tested and found RNA and DNA, interestingly, in the mRNA in quotes injectables. So there could be, at least in some of them, RNA and DNA. In fact, some of the nanorobots could be made from DNA and RNA.
Right.
Now, it could be, and again, I cannot say, because even if we have enough vials, to have a representative sample of the vials, so we need to be able to have the tools to test for the existence of this RNA or DNA in the lab. Now, I'm as a as a scientist with a microscope, I cannot tell whether there is RNA and DNA in a vial. Who can? People, biologists or biology lab. Are we allowed to go there? No, we are not allowed to go in there. So this makes it very difficult for us to claim anything regarding what percentage of the vials contain mRNA. I can tell you that none of them contain mRNA, because mRNA is some scientific fiction. But they could contain RNA and DNA, and we don't know what percentage of the vials contain that. And now this is not the problem. The problem is, okay, they contain RNA or not, do not contain, do they contain toxins? That's the and can RNA and DNA be a toxin in itself? And is the delivery platform, the hydrogel, the lipid particle, are these toxic? And interestingly, the answer to all these questions is yes. So there could be toxins, and genetic material, when thrown into cells, could do damage. It's toxic.
Yeah.
if it's not controlled, right? You just throw any genetic material into someone's cells. That's not good, is it? And
yes.
And the delivery platform in another paper, just the lipid particles in themselves are toxic. So there could be at least three mechanisms of toxicity in these injectables, and this is very worrying.
It is. It is. And here in Australia, our excess death rate is up over 18%.
Is by how much?
18%.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently that's equivalent to a Korean War. To the Korean War. Wow.
I mean, this is so distressing. And among all that, so there are still somehow people who believe that the authorities are working in their best interest.
Yeah.
Whereas the authorities are obviously seeing the numbers of casualties. Are they stopping? No, they want
no.
to accept, no, prepare for the next jab. So this is just a tragedy. And
yeah. How's Israel doing, Shimon?
Now, I don't think there is any injection campaign for the moment. There could well be shortly. I think that we in Israel, we had yet another election campaign, and the previous Prime Minister Netanyahu, who was replaced for a while, returned to the his previous post as Prime Minister. And there is a whole lot of nonsense, just distraction in the background about the legal system and the political system and judicial system. Nobody's talking about the, you know, this scandemic and the brutal stamping of human rights and civil rights and so on. And but I cannot not notice that the ambulance sirens are more frequent than they used to be.
Yeah.
And that people have changed, including myself. So I'm not particularly well, but I'm looking at other people. And you mentioned earlier, you mentioned a client of yours who has a depression and anxiety. I see this in many people, but I also see sometimes loss of cognition. So people are zombies, right? But yeah, but also a whole spectrum of what we call psychiatric, but now we know that not psychiatric, it's toxins that are doing this, but they express them, these effects are expressed by agitation or withdrawal or depression and anxiety, and sometimes psychosis maybe. And this so I think Israel has been hit hard, and it's interesting that we find in Australians and New Zealanders we find colleagues in this moment of grief and sorrow, you know, because we share the same you know, destiny.
No,
and
it's
this is global, I think, will soon be global.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the excess deaths are going up everywhere where the jabs have just been hideous. One of the researchers estimated the jabs have probably killed about 30 million people worldwide so far. And it's possibly more than that, but that was based on excess deaths over and above also. And that was at probably 3, 4, 5 months ago, actually. So who knows?
Yeah.
Is 5G turned on where you are, Shimon?
I think so, yeah. But 5G, the term 5G is a bit misleading, because there are hierarchies of 5G, or sections of 5G, for example, telephony and the Internet of Things, which are two different things, and the robots and so on. Not all these aspects may have been activated, but some have been, I think, all over the world, and they are planning for more to be deployed.
Right.
So I don't think the death toll is settled yet. In fact, I'm very worried and concerned that this genocide would continue, maybe accelerated. And we should all be very concerned and about this,
yes,
I think.
Yes. Yeah, there was a study done of 1 million people in the States recently, and about 28% of people knew someone who had died directly from the jab. And I was surprised it was only 28, but then again, I work with people all day, every day. And once you open the door to let people know that you're open to the idea that someone has had a jab issue, then all of a sudden it's like they take that opportunity to actually speak their truth about it, because most people can't talk to anyone about it. It's really quite devastating.
But absolutely, I agree. And in 2020, I didn't know anyone who was ill with alleged COVID-19. But then, after the injection campaign started, I started to get to know people who died,
yeah,
or their relatives.
Yes.
Now, some people could connect the dots and tell the story of how their relative or friends or died right after the injection. I could also notice people, apart from the ambulance sirens, right, and things, people collapsing in the street. I noticed such events myself.
Yes.
Not many, but I did. And you know, there are friends and family who are paramedics, and they're being summoned to scenes where something has happened, and this is becoming more frequent. There is also a phenomenon of people saying, oh, for example, my relative just passed away tragically. He was very young. He was 50, 49.
Yes.
But yeah, things... Sadly, this happens.
Absolutely.
And they cannot connect the dots that he was jabbed like 2 weeks or a month prior to, or given a booster. But
yes,
if you ask them, you could get, you know, some response like, yeah, he just got his first shot. But why do you ask? Why, you mean to imply that this conspiracy, a ridiculous conspiracy theory?
Yes.
Yeah, he was jabbed, but the doctors told us that it's unrelated, totally unrelated to such nonsense. But they would tell you, yeah, my relative died. Yeah, he was jabbed, but what do you think? Why? You know, something. But some people, the minority, are able to connect the dots. And yeah, he was jabbed and died 2 weeks later.
Yeah, we had a young 27-year-old teacher, like 2 kilometres away, die in front of his year seven class. He had a seizure, and then he had a heart attack. 3 ambos came, they tried, and I just think about those poor kids. Like, imagine seeing that happen to a young, healthy, fit man. Just awful, just awful.
Indeed. And how about... Madonna, how about airline pilots?
Oh my
You know,
goodness.
dying in mid-flight. So this is not good, is it?
Yeah.
And so the, but
yes, I've got a cousin who works for Qantas, and apparently there's nearly, well, at least every second day something's going on where, you know, in Qantas, it's got one of the best histories in the world, and all of a sudden there's stuff going on nearly every day.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And there is plenty of footage of, you know, athletes collapsing on the playing field. This is not good.
No.
And what you described, so dementia, not to mention myocarditis or heart attacks, or things like that
Does
happening to you.
anything make you feel better, Shimon? Is there any supplements that help you feel better at the moment?
Let me divide this to two. First, when I had the acute toxicity, then N-acetylcysteine helped me a lot.
Yes.
Later on, when there was no longer an acute toxicity, but I was trying just to feel better, I found that N-acetylcysteine stopped being effective. It was very effective in alleviating the acute toxicity, but in terms of feeling better, I and colleagues have yet to find something that solves all the problems. I'm trying to think if I can think of anything other than that.
Yeah, because I know I heard on the Health Ranger recently that the combination of, and once again, I'm not sure which ingredients are actually in the jabs, but they seem to indicate that bromelains and N-acetylcysteine, the combination, help to break the spine of both synthetic and natural viruses. Quercetin is about the seven, it's like in the list of 200 things they have looked at for. And I just think synthetic and natural coronaviruses, it's like in the top 10. So quercetin, but you need about 2 grams a day. Quercetin's fantastic for all sorts of things. It's very pro-lymphocyte, so it helps to boost the lymphocytes in the body. And lymphocytes are antiviral, but of course it's not real, you know. If it has been manipulated in the Wuhan lab and they've been messing with this, as Dr. David Martin says, you know, for over 20 years, and there's over 2,000 patents associated with it, just the spike proteins alone. Who knows? But and
I
licorice
disagree.
As well. Licorice, pure licorice, has also been found. And licorice is also an adrenal tonic. So it's something that, because it's been found to support the destruction of the coronaviruses, as well as from a naturopathic perspective, it's an adrenal agent. And it also helps with gut lining. So if there is gut damage as well, good old real licorice, of course, not the old big long licorice sticks that are sugar and flour.
I want to take a note of things you said. I have to disagree with you first.
Okay.
I don't think there's a coronavirus.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, they're always, well, yes. I'm not sure where I said the virus in these days.
So I did some research, historic research on this. I don't think there are any viruses. And I don't think they need viruses to poison us,
yes,
frankly. The spike protein is obviously another hoax.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that there is no toxic protein, but when we say spike protein, what we mean by that toxic protein is a spike of some fake virus, and it isn't.
Yes.
Proteins can be very toxic even when they are not connected to a virus, especially if they are not connected to a virus. Even bacteria could deliver toxins,
yes,
and some, maybe parasites. Good old chemical toxins are, just inject spray this. What do they do to our crops? They spray them with pesticides. What are pesticides? There are little spike proteins produced in some pesticide company that kill bugs and bees and so on. These are toxins.
Yes.
We don't need any virus to enjoy, in double quotes, the spectrum of toxins that they throw at us.
Yes.
But the question of what's effective once you've been poisoned by whatever this toxin or group of toxins R, or whatever it is, then it remains very important to see what's effective. Now, so the first thing you said is that the NAC that I've been using when I was very ill can be combined with bromelain, which is an enzyme. I don't think it does anything to a virus, but it could do things to other, could good things to. So it's a bromelain, what is it? A digestive enzyme of some sort, right?
Yeah, that's right. From pineapples.
Derived from pineapples. So, well, I'm not sure. This is anecdotal evidence.
Yes.
I have personal evidence of NAC and acetylcysteine, but I could try the bromelain as well. Unfortunately, another problem that we are facing is the low quality scientific research. And what I mean by that is that we can see scientific papers that are clearly fake, of absurd low quality, being published all over the place, whereas real quality and informative papers are being rejected. And you know, it would be wonderful to see a clinical trial with NAC and bromelain, but we don't see any such clinical trials. So we have to resort to anecdotal evidence. So yeah, this is quite interesting. And in addition to that, what did you mention?
Licorice.
Before that, you, I think you mentioned
quercetin.
Quercetin.
So vitamin C, it's one of the vitamin C derivatives. You know, it's one of the molecules in vitamin C.
So yeah, quercetin. Yeah, found in many foods. What you're saying is that it strengthens the immune system.
Absolutely. And particularly there's T helper 1, 2, and 3 cells in the immune system. Once again, this is my 30 years going on. In the last 3 years, I've very much been along the lines of question everything. But when we've got an excess of T helper 2 cells, they're more inflammatory and allergic. So when we take antihistamines, it helps to suppress T helper 2 cells. But antihistamines actually suppress T helper 1s as well. And T helper 1 cells, once again, old terminology, help to kill viruses, bacteria, parasites, cancer cells. So the good thing about using things like N-acetylcysteine and bromelains and quercetin is that they not only suppress T helper 2s, but they boost T helper 1s. So you're getting a more balanced immune system.
Right.
And anything in the vitamin C family actually is both fat soluble and water soluble, so it supports reducing toxins from both the blood and the fat tissue.
Right.
And I think that's why vitamin C infusions are so fantastic. But here in Australia, vitamin C infusions are like $400. You know, anything with that's in an infusion. Someone said to me the other day, but NAC's only about 30% absorbed. And I said, yeah, but it's $40 for 100 capsules, you know, as opposed to $400 for an infusion. So it's, you know, cost-wise, I'd rather a 30% absorption for people who can't afford to, you know, be having an infusion every week.
Yeah, I think that in Israel too, vitamin C infusions or any infusions, privately done infusions are extremely expensive. And again, I don't think there is any good scientific evidence that vitamin C helps.
No, I'm just talking generally. Yeah.
Regarding, so you said quercetin. Now, see, if I'm saying that there is no virus, how come is it helpful to strengthen the immune system?
Because it might be about electromagnetic radiation as well, or the toxicity.
Well, there's strangely another effect that has been observed. Now, it has been observed that once people have been poisoned with whatever toxins these are, their immune or they have graphene oxide structures in their blood, bad things happen to their immune system, such as like neutrophils or lymphocytes and so on, trying to commit suicide, destroying these graphene-based structures, and are being killed. So there could be a weakening of the immune system as a result of this toxicity. And so we need to strengthen the immune system, or we could have, colonization of fungi and parasites, and this is not good. So things that are normally kept at bay, such as fungi and parasites and maybe bacteria, could start being getting out of control. And this is why we need to restore the health of the immune system. And the immune system is being extremely challenged. However, I think maybe you pointed that out. I mentioned this. When I was very, very ill, I used steroids, not just what was it that you antihistamines? I used steroids to suppress my immune system, because in a state of acute inflammation resulting from a toxin, you don't want to fight bacteria, you want to fight the inflammation.
Yes.
Now, inflammation could be an exaggerated, sometimes extremely exaggerated, response of your body to a toxin.
Yeah.
And then antihistamines and steroids, steroids are always, they always require a prescription, but antihistamines are some over-the-counter ones. But yeah, sometimes antihistamines, they lower suppress the immune system entirely, and that's not good. But sometimes, as an SOS treatment, then this is life-saving potentially.
So I interviewed a lady years ago who was an EMF expert. And she'd written about 6 books. So we had a thing over here at the ABC radio TV where 6 women had got breast cancer within a really short space of time, a couple of years. So they were looking at all the electromagnetic radiation, and she was one of the journalists. And of course, they shut down the investigation, very, very soon. They didn't want to look into it, but she's subsequently written 6 books. And she was saying that histamines and electromagnetic frequencies attract each other, and that electromagnetic radiation builds up in the gut, the brain, the testicles, and the spine at really high levels, whereas histamines builds up, they build up everywhere, but also the histamines build up in the gut, the brain, the uterus, and the spine. So when you look at the combination of those, and then histamine is actually a healing agent in the body. It's drawn to areas in the body to help it to calm inflammation. It's a healing molecule in the body. And when it's out of whack, we can end up with something called MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome. And with mast cell activation syndrome, the histamines regularly build up in areas like the gut, the brain, the uterus, and the spine. With things that really doctors can't find again because they're not looking for it. And it's and mast cells release over 200 chemicals. So histamine's just one of them. So in order for someone to be lucky enough to have a blood test at a moment when their histamine's through the roof, especially here in Australia, because our doctors and medical system doesn't believe in MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome, whereas it's very interesting that the pair of them, anyway, that's my sort of the fact that histamines and EMFs very much seem to be linked in certain areas of the body as well. And I can imagine with these toxic chemicals floating around our body, MCAS is going to be going through the roof, I believe.
So interesting. You said that histamines are originally the God or nature created them as helping agents in states of inflammation. So is there any benefit in suppressing histamine, taking antihistamines any time at all?
Well, I think for acute, if someone's got welts and inflammation and then they take an antihistamine, it's going to give them more comfort. But from a naturopathic perspective, what we try to do then is balance the T helper 1, 2, and 3 cells. And you can imagine the balancing agent is in the gut. So 90% of our immunity is in the gut. So that's where you have to have a nice little balance between T helper 3 and T helper 17s. So those little guys in the gut, which is all probiotics and the microbiome and that sort of thing. So even people on antidepressants, which I think I saw the other day in 2021, 28% of Australians were on some sort of antidepressant or anti-anxiety drug, that can suppress the release of serotonin in the gut, because when we take an antidepressant, it shuts down the release of serotonin in the gut, where we make most of our serotonin, and it recycles the serotonin in the brain. The SSRIs, so we're messing with the gut with just about everything we do. And like you said about genetic modification and pesticides, they're deliberately doing things that destroy our bacteria in our gut. If they're giving us food that have antibacterial components in them, we're destroying our gut with those same antibacterial components.
Absolutely. And glyphosate.
Oh, absolutely.
Glyphosate destroys bacteria who are responsible for the shikimate pathway. And the shikimate pathway produces tryptophan and phenylalanine, which are the precursor for
Wow.
serotonin and dopamine. And then you can have depression and anxiety. Just by, just killing gut bacteria.
Yeah.
And Madonna, you also mentioned licorice. I said it's important for me and maybe everyone to make this list of what helps. So I have on my list NAC, potentially with bromelain, quercetin, and licorice, you said.
Yeah,
What is
so
and what?
yeah, so licorice root is an amazing herb. It helps to heal the gut lining. It's anti-inflammatory. It's in a class of herbs called adaptogenic herbs. So adaptogenic herbs help you deal with more stress before you fall apart. It's an adrenal agent, so it really supports the adrenals. So as you would know, when you take steroids that you mentioned before, steroids shut down the immune system, but they can also quench the adrenal activity. So sometimes after people feel fantastic on steroids, and afterwards people can feel really flat. So licorice is one of those beautiful nutrients that really herbs that helps to pick that up. Other adaptogenic herbs are all the ginseng family, so Siberian ginseng, Withania, Korean ginseng. Like I love the ginsengs as an long term for chronic fatigue and fatigue issues. They're just beautiful. Korean ginseng works on the pituitary gland, so you get your better bang for your buck if you have a big dose in the morning, because you get 8 times the pituitary gland stimulation in the morning than you do later on in the day, because that's when we're supposed to wake up and be alive for the day. What time is it over there in Israel, by the way?
It's almost 1 o'clock.
You're doing very well.
1 a.m. almost.
Yeah. And then, of course, the medicinal mushrooms. So things like reishi and, yeah, there's a whole lot of them, lion's mane and cryptolepis. And, so there's lots of things like medicinal mushrooms are amazing as well, Coriolis. And so for boosting that immunity. And I think anything that boosts the immunity, because we've got those. The neutrophils, lymphocytes, monocytes, eosinophils, and basophils. I'm seeing a lot of basophils and eosinophils in my live blood checks at the moment. And those two spray acids, probably things like histamines, out in the bloodstream when they're floating around in order to break down proteins that haven't been digested. Or, as we know, these protein toxins that are out there. So I'm seeing a lot more. We're supposed to have a maximum of 1% basophils and a maximum of 4% eosinophils, but I'm regularly seeing way more than that these days. I've never seen so many basophils in live blood than I have in the last 2 years. That it was rare. It was rare for me to see basophils in the past. And when I
Right.
see basophils and eosinophils levels risen, then I automatically think histamine, because that's always been connected to high levels of parasites and allergies.
Right.
of some
So
sort.
basophils should comprise not more than 1% of
1%
wild basophils.
and 4% eosinophils. And monocytes should only be about 4 to 8%, and sort of they're ones connected with autoimmunity. So when we get high levels of monocytes, so more like, 10 or 15 or 20% or something like that, that's a real autoimmune thing going on. And the monocytes are only supposed to have one kidney bean-shaped nucleus. And there was someone from CSIRO who spoke to us at an obesity congress about, I know, 10, 12 years ago in Sydney. And she was saying that what she was finding in rats was when the monocytes had more than one nuclei, then that's a sign of genetic damage. And since then, I've experimented and I find that big doses of B12 can help with that. And I'm talking about like 4 grams a day, which is about the equivalent of 2 B12 injections a day. And that's quite cheap to do if you get a good, well, cheap to do if you get a good B12 supplement with about 1,000 grams. I also find that eicosapentaenoic acid, the EPA in good quality fish, so EPA also helps to repair that damage. And then things that increase stem cells. So there's a product I use called Stem Enhance, and that also helps to repair that damage. And actually, I haven't played with the redox signaling molecules yet, but I know that there was a study done on signaling molecules and the ability to repair lots of genetic damage. So there's some good stuff. I experiment with my clients all the time with different things.
You mentioned mushrooms. Someone told me about mushrooms called chaga
Oh, yes.
mushrooms. What do you know about them?
It's not one of
Any
the ones that's I'm a lazy naturopath, so I get bottled herbs and I get things. So chaga, I don't think is even like I've got maca, but chaga I haven't used. I'm sorry, so I don't know about it.
Okay.
I don't think it's in any of my combinations.
Right.
Have you been trying
But
chaga?
someone recommended this to me. I don't never no not never. I wasn't aware of any benefits of chaga for this particular occasion, but he recommended, so I'm trying to try it, willing to try it. But you mentioned other mushrooms such as reishi and others.
Yes. Yeah, and you can imagine because a lot of these white blood cells, so monocytes, for example, they're in and out of the bloodstream really quickly, and their job is to go around and sop up toxins. So when our white blood cells have been decimated, and I used to find this after the flu jab, so people would come in and have live blood. They'd been sick. They hadn't, people don't put it together, of course. So, and I would regularly see about 20% of the white blood cells just broken. And I sort of imagine it must have been, because our flu jabs are about 50% mercury by weight, is my understanding. So that's a lot of heavy metal being pumped into the body. And even months later, you could see that the white blood cells had never really recovered. So it's, whereas it's different things going on with these injectables, it's different.
So it could be that seemingly there could be enough white blood cells if you do regular tests. But the ratio between them is all wrong, right?
Yeah,
This
that's
is
right.
something that could be going on, and so
And I think in a perfect world, adults want about 55 to 65% neutrophils, about 20 to 30% lymphocytes, about 4 to 8% monocytes, less than 4 of eosinophils, and less than 1 of basophils. So that's sort of, the perfect ratio. Kids have about equal levels of lymphocytes to neutrophils. Once again, my old terminology is that because they were killing viruses all the time, but maybe it's just because they're dealing with toxins, all the time. So you need about equal levels of neutrophils and lymphocytes.
Right.
But anyway, that's a bit of fun when I get around. These days, I'm more looking for all the graphene and stuff in the blood. So I'm not doing the counts all the time like I should be doing. I need to spend a bit more time on that.
Well, I think what you are doing is very important, and congratulations for installing this new camera. And maybe you
Yay.
could join the effort to do some microscopy.
Yes.
And absolutely, I think that it's imperative that we determine good treatments. So the
And I think, you know,
bromelain.
keeping the body as alkaline as possible. One of the someone locally here in Australia, they checked the rain acid level the other day, and it was 4.5 pH, which is incredibly acidic. So that's something else. We need to be doing everything
Wow.
to alkaline our body. So, you know.
How would you achieve that? Can you know?
I don't go the old vegan route, by the way. So a lot of naturopaths immediately jump on vegan, whereas I believe we need plenty of greens, things like apple cider vinegar or lemon juice in water, purified water, of course. You can do things like any of the baths, whether it's washing soda or Epsom salts or rock salt or whatever, you know, just to help to draw toxins out of the body, foot baths or big baths. Things like potassium citrate is a really alkalizing nutrient. So all of your magnesium, calcium, potassium, they're all alkalizing. They sort of do different things in the body. So magnesium, of course, mainly stored in the muscles, potassium in the nerves, calcium in the bones. But when we're acidic in the bloodstream, the body's going to deliberately pull out, you know, those minerals from our body in order to try to alkalize the bloodstream. So keeping those, but yeah, potassium citrate's one of the most alkalizing things. And of course, people on blood medication, blood pressure medication, they're regularly told not to drink water and not to take potassium. And I think it's criminal. It's quite bizarre, the recommendations. That was about 10 years ago they started doing that. Before then, if someone was on blood pressure medication, they were always told to drink at least 3 liters of water a day, because blood pressure medications work through one of the mechanisms is through the kidneys, and so it dehydrates the body. So we need to replace that fluid. So yeah, it's very frustrating, but there's lots that can be done. But yeah, anything that boosts the immunity, anything that opens up the pathways of detoxification. Oh, sulfurophane is another cool molecule if you haven't played with that yet. So sulfurophane is from broccoli sprouts. Actually, the ones that we use, they come from a dude in Israel. So there was some
Really?
research that was being done with a really high yielding non-genetically modified seed that had higher than normal yield of sulfurophane. So sulfurophane works on over 200 genes in the body that help to switch on detoxification pathways and help to quench inflammatory pathways. So sulfurophane, yeah. So, and then the sort of foods that have them, although it's lesser once they're big foods, are things like cabbage and wasabi and broccoli and cauliflower and that sort of thing. So, so sulfurophane
maybe
is something. Sorry?
Cruciferous vegetables, maybe, rich in
Yes,
that?
yes. So,
and earlier you mentioned, I want to make sure I got this written down. A good alkalizing supplement is
potassium
citrate.
Citrate, yeah. Well,
Okay.
any of the citrates, actually. So magnesium citrate and, yeah, so we've sort of the types are very important. Here in Australia, they hide things into the amino acid chelates. So if we get the amino acid chelates around minerals, very often they're just using a really dodgy form of minerals inside. And it's quite old technology now. There's no reason to have those in things these days. So when I see them, my brain goes, oh, they're not paying for the good stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is sodium bicarbonate, baking soda, any good?
Oh, I think it's great. You know, once again, I listened to something the other day, some little old chicky babe who was talking about radiation. It's like an old video from like 30, 40 years ago. And she was talking about a combination of bicarb soda with sea salt, helping to pull radiation out of the body. I haven't played around with it yet. I need to listen to it and write down her little formulas. But she was also talking about just sea salt baths to help to pull radiation out of the body. And once again, like Matt Taylor said, you need a lot of it in the bath. You know, it's not like a few tablespoons. You actually mm-hmm. need quite a bit. So you just need to find where you can get bulk stuff, I think, and be doing this regularly. But, yeah, I'll see if I can find that video and I'll make some notes. And, yeah.
So salt bath.
She believed in, and she used to say that her clients would come in and, I shared it on my New Leaf page on Facebook. But, she'd have people come in who were feeling so much better after a few baths, and then they'd feel crap again. She said, yes, you have to keep doing it. The radiation isn't stopping. The radiation is here to stay. And once again, this is decades ago she was talking about it. And I think it's worse these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, Shimon? I've kept you a long, long time this morning.
Oh, it was a pleasure. So I think, final thoughts. Thank you for inviting me. I think that it's a wonderful opportunity for scientists like me and naturopaths like you working together to finding solutions, maybe even sometimes even medical doctors dismiss or ignore or miss, and finding, you know, what ails us, how to avoid it, and what helps us, how to get more of it. And this is basically we need to do all that, because there is some agenda out there to harm us, and we need to do our best to stay healthy and live.
Yes.
And so it's great that this brings us together from two different perspectives, and hopefully we will be able to make some progress in understanding what is attacking us on one hand, and on the other hand, finding the solutions.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And if you hadn't found the chips underneath the microscopes, we wouldn't know that that was one of the things we had to do. All this nanotechnology, really quite phenomenal that this is what they're throwing at us at the moment on the planet.
Nanotechnology and toxins.
Yes.
Right? The nanotechnology itself, well, the components of the nanotechnology could be toxic, but nevertheless, these are toxins. So it's not just the technology, it's something that at the end either creates chips or creates heart attacks or sudden deaths. This is terrible. And the nanotechnology, as I said, could be just a delivery platform for payloads, for some payloads, and then the toxins are the things that are ailing people or even killing them. And that's very sad.
It is. Thank you so much, Shimon. Go have a good night's sleep, and I'll see you on Wednesday morning.
Yes, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Excellent.
We should do it again.
Thanks, Shimon.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.